demonstration and I need a volunteer. Who wants to volunteer for me? Hands up. Woo! Yeah, no, not you. I'll take you because you're at the front. Come on up. Give a hand for Heidi. You ready? Right, so we're going to look at stretching today. Who likes to stretch? Okay, you like to stretch too. Awesome. So we're going to start with a really, really, really easy stretch. So everybody, we're just going to put our necks this way. Yeah, we're not looking at a screen, but well done. And up and over. Woohoo! How'd that feel? Good? Yeah. You ready for the next one? All right. Who likes Murph Hughes? Whoever watched the cricket in the 80s? Murph Hughes. Off in the backfield? Yeah, okay. That's what we're going to do. Ready? And without hitting anyone in the head, arm up. And over we go. Oh, yeah. Pretend you got a handlebar moustache over there. And the other way. Oh, you guys are awesome. Was that hard work? What? Oh, come on. That wasn't that hard. I'll tell you what, for the next one, though, I'm tucking my shirt in. It's a bit of a loose shirt. All right, ready? So I need to kind of say just a little bit. Feet together, arms up. You don't all have to do this one. You can just watch. You need both arms up. I have a microphone in my hand. And we're going to touch our toes. How'd that feel? Okay. Did it hurt?
A bit.
You good? We got one more. Who wants to see Heidi do one more stretch? Stretch to improve and grow. No? Okay. They didn't like my stretching.
No. I like your stretching. I just won't demonstrate it myself. Today I want to talk about stretching. That's what that was all about. It wasn't the Ignite Aerobics team. I want to talk about stretching because if we want to be successful, we need to stretch. And stretching is always painful, never comfortable, but it's always productive unless we overstretch. So if for example, if you grabbed a rubber band and you put it around some pens, but you haven't got tension on it and it's not stretched, how useful is it? Not at all. The pens will go everywhere. Why? Because it's not stretched. So a rubber band is only useful when it's stretched. And so are Christians. James 1 verses 2 to 4 says this. So if you've got your Bible, open it to James chapter 1. There's some good verses coming down if you are liking stretching at all. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Because you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." But James says, have joy, be joyful in pain. Who is joyful when it hurts? It's hard to be joyful when it hurts, isn't it? But if you realize it's part of the stretching process, then you can see what it is producing and the character that's producing. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, that we might be those who stretch and rise above, that we might be people who become great for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Remember the film, The Bourne Identity? Well, I want to talk about the Bourne Identity here for a minute. Leonard Ravenhill relates that a group of tourists were in a village in Europe, and one of them asked an elderly villager, said to him, "Have any great men been born in this village?" And the old man replied, "Nope, only babies." Because you see, we're all born as babies. Even the Savior came as a baby the first time. We get different opportunities, we have different personalities, different hopes, different dreams, different potentials, but everybody starts at the same spot as a baby. Every person who's ever achieved anything in life has stretched to achieve it. You see, success is due to our stretching for the challenges that life throws at us. Failure comes when we shrink back from those challenges. You see, no one is born great, we're all born as babies, but God, when he sees you, he doesn't see just a baby. He sees the unlimited potential he put into you. He sees the incredible things you could be if you obeyed him. and if you were prepared to stretch. When he looked at Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he looked at Jeremiah and he said this to a young boy. He said this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." This is one of the, that verse is one of the reasons why I am against abortion, because God sees you in the womb. While he was forming you in the womb, he had a hope and a destiny and a dream for you. How amazing is that? And that's why every child deserves a shot at life. But we don't like to be stretched. Who likes to be stretched? Well, a few did. Many of us do. Sam does. I can't imagine. Anyway, if stretching is to make us great, why do we resist all the time? Why is it that we say, "I know that stretching will help, but I don't want to do it"? What stops us from stretching out towards greatness? Well, here's the top four reasons why people, perhaps you, don't stretch. And I'm not including the pain involved here. I'm including other reasons, okay? The first one is fear. The biggest deterrent is without doubt fear. When we are asked to stretch, we don't know the end result. And it's fear of the unknown that stops us from stretching towards greatness. But Isaiah 41 verse 10, the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So we have nothing to fear if we have God, don't we? Never trust an unknown future to a known God. And so we can trust him without fear. The second thing that stops us from stretching is satisfaction. Many of us are just too satisfied with life, especially in a place like Australia. It's too comfortable. We're too complacent, too attached to what we see and experience around us. Stretching is painful. And so we go, "Yeah, I don't think I want pain." So we don't do it. Yet trust me, if you think you're satisfied now, if you look at your life and you say, "Yeah, life's pretty good, I'm satisfied," you ain't seen nothing if you start stretching with Jesus. I promise you. Psalm 107 verse 9, God says, "He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry souls he fills with good things." There's a satisfaction that comes that is beyond anything you could know in the earthly realms when you are serving Jesus. Really is. So don't be satisfied with less than what God has for your life. The third reason we don't want to stretch is laziness. Now, sometimes we know we should stretch, but we don't do it because we're lazy. When you come to me and you say the word gym, I don't think, you know, if you, like physical gym, it's all right for Darren to go to gym. He's got a broken toe. He can do things like that. But when you say gym to me, I go, "Oh, I don't think I, no, I can't be bothered," because I'm lazy. Truly, I am. The last thing I want to do is go and stretch and push myself, because I go, "Yeah, but it's such a good show on TV and my little nibblies are so great," you know. So I think, we've got to think about stretching. We've got to get over laziness. And you don't want to be lazy in your life, do you? You get one life, folks, one. Don't blow it being lazy. There's so much greatness in the world that you can aspire to. Don't blow up being lazy. A man once went to his doctor and he said, "Doctor, I am unable to do things around the house that I used to do." When the examination was complete, he said, "Now, doc," he said, "I can take it. Tell me in plain English what the problem is." And the doctor said, "Well, in plain English, you're just lazy." "Okay," said the man. "Now give it to me in medical terms so I can tell my wife." You know. But, you know, there's no substitute for not being lazy. Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." So if you want to be something with God, you got to not be lazy. You got to get up and get involved. The fourth thing is low self-esteem. Some people just think they're not worthy to attempt anything or stretch towards greatness in any way. They just say, "I'm no good, I'm useless, I can't do that." But David writes, I love this verse, Psalm 139, 13 and 14. This is one of my favorite psalms. Love it. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." He says this, "You form my inward," David says, "you form my inward parts, knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it so well. You might think that you are not worthy. You might think that you've got nothing to offer God, but God doesn't think that. You see, he formed you in the womb and he knew you and he knit you together and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God did not make a mistake when he made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The fifth thing is not wanting to be different. This is a big one today. People don't want to be different. They want to conform. So conformity is so much a part of our modern world, many are afraid to stretch and be different. You see, if you stretch, you're no longer like the other guys. If you stand up for what you believe, suddenly you're out of sync with all of your friends. Don't believe me? Put something on Facebook that's against the current trend and see how long it takes for people to attack you. You're different. They don't like that. But I think we have the greatest opportunity in our nation going forward, because for the first time in history, or in a long time, the church is actually different to everybody else on these issues. Isn't that great? Don't be fearful. This is brilliant. Suddenly we're different. Suddenly there's a point of difference. I think it's a tremendous opportunity. You know, if you stretch, you're no longer ordinary. If you stand out, you're no longer the same. Your destiny, listen to me, your destiny is not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's your destiny. God didn't call you to be the same as everybody else. He called you to be the best. To stand up and really stand for what is right. In fact, in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, says this: you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that great? You're a royal priesthood. You're not the same. You're different, but you're better because you're allowing God to form you into the image that he wants. There are a few of the reasons that people resist stretching. But if we truly want to serve the Lord, if we really want to become someone great for him, we cannot stay as we are. And even for us as a church, it wasn't my first choice to go to two services. It wasn't. I wanted to move into a massive big church next week. But I'm just going to do whatever it takes to proclaim the gospel, aren't you? I don't care. I just want to be faithful in whatever God is doing. So you might think, well, that's a bit of a stretch. And stretching is painful. Wouldn't you love to hand up all the ladies who would like to do that? To be able to do that. Just Sam and her daughter. Brilliant. Okay, hand up all the men that would like to do that. Oh. No, I'm sorry. I struggle with that. Stretching is always painful. So here are three common areas of pain you might encounter when you stretch. I've encountered many of these recently. Number one is criticism. If you stretch, every one of us has stretched in the past at some point, and you will find that it leaves you open to attack and criticism. If you stop stretching and start, you know, when you're criticized, you want to stop stretching and you start withdrawing to a safe place. Have you noticed that? Because if you're different, they attack you. Every person soon realizes that stretching equals pain. And so they stop stretching. Those who continue to stretch will find themselves vulnerable to criticism. And believe me, Australia is one of our innate skills and talents is criticism, isn't it? We have the gift of criticism and we love to just chop people down to size. 1 Peter 2 verse 23, Peter writes this about Jesus. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. You see, when you stretch, you will be criticized, sometimes by people close to you whom you love. But don't stop stretching to answer the critics. There's a saying in football, I don't know if you've heard it, answer your critics on the pitch. And what they mean is, the best answer you can, don't stop to try and answer the criticism, just do what you do and do it great. And the best answer, if someone's going to criticize you when you stretch out and try something new in God, the best answer for them is to produce fruit that lasts. They can't argue with that. They can criticize all they like, But it falls on deaf ears. It falls to the ground dead because you're producing fruit. So that's the best answer that you have, produce fruit. The second thing is misunderstanding. See, often people whose motives might be wrong themselves will feel threatened because we are stretching to be our best to become greater. And how many of you know, you try to become greater, you stretch, you do something incredible for God, you take a risk, and then someone else questions the motives for you doing that, accusing you of doing your best for some impure purpose. Listen, don't let the dissenters be the deciders. Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. When someone misunderstands your motives, you don't have to answer them. It's between you and God. And trust me, I know this. This happens frequently. I've recently faced this at the end of last year, being accused of impure motives by a leader outside our church. Now, I knew it wasn't true. And perhaps it said more about him than me. But when your motives are questioned, you hurt. You only want this because... But it hurts inside. But still and all, I know, and my team here knows, and God knows, that that's not true. That my motives were pure. And that my motives for standing here as your pastor are pure. I want to serve you, and I want to see this church grow and prosper and become all that God wants it to be. That's my motives. I'm not here for money. I'm not here for prestige. I'm not here because I don't have anything better to do. And I'm not waiting for retirement. I'm here for the duration because God's given us a vision for the future. Isn't that exciting? So I'm not here to fill in time. Are you? I hope not. Come here and let your gifts explode and let's do this thing together. What a thrill. Can you imagine a year, 2 years, 5 years down the track, whatever God is doing out there, whatever destiny awaits us, but to look back and say, wow, I was part of something awesome in the Lord. So they can think what they like about me, but I know what motivates me. Don't let them discourage you with that. So the third thing is failure and discouragement. The reason we often refuse to step out and stretch for the Lord is fear of failure. We all have it. You're taking a risk. You're doing something new. You could fail. I mean, I'm standing here thinking we're going to two services next week. I'm wondering if half the church is not going to show up. That's a fear. I think you are going to show up, right? Okay. But, you know, it's a stretching time for us as a leadership and as a church. But if we don't stretch, we won't grow. If this room is full and no one can fit in, we won't reach more people. So this is why we're doing it. Don't ever let failure become final. You know, be aware that failure's partner is discouragement. And the best way to pull yourself out of discouragement is to surround yourself with people who will encourage you. That's what church is about. You know, we're not here to build an empire. We're here to encourage one another and build one another up in the Lord. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, the righteous fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. How many times have you seen it? If you haven't got God and you fall, it's really hard to get up. But if you have a church around you that loves you, it's much easier to get up. And that's what it should be about. See, failure is never permanent until you make it permanent. So lock in here at Ignite and let's do our future together. Seriously. I always remember, you know, I mean, I have many sins in my life, but one of them is I like Rocky movies. You know the Rocky movies? And Sylvester Stallone. I'd love to be a scriptwriter. You know, I mean, he just mumbles all the time. But I just remember him pulling himself. Was it the first Rocky movie? I can't remember. He pulls himself off the canvas and he goes over to his trainer in the corner and there's blood and I don't know spit and mucus and everything falling everywhere and everything swollen up and it looks like Darren Roberts' toe. And he looks at his trainer and he says, I ain't going down no more. Just like that. And his trainer says, what's that? I don't understand. No, he didn't say that. But that he just decided he's not going down no more. But he had a team behind him to push him on and to get him over the line. So failure is never permanent until you say it's permanent. And I encourage you not to say it's permanent. So let me ask you a question. When do you stretch and when do you rest? Athletes will tell you that you cannot stretch all the time, lest you cause injury. You stretch, you strive, and then you need a period of rest to recover. The trouble is, many of us, especially in church, we stress for a little and then we rest for a long time, sometimes decades. The stretch hurts and we go, oh, I think I'll just choose rest. And you're getting ready for your next stretch, but you never do anything because you're still resting. See, rest is needed to recover, to get ready for the next stretch. But why do so many people stretch and then rest, but decide to stay in the rest position for so long, even years? Here's four reasons. Number one, you're surrounded by turkeys. Now, you probably heard the phrase, how can you fly like an eagle when you're surrounded by turkeys? But if you surround yourself with boring people who never stretch, you will go like the company you keep. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. In other words, you go like the company you keep. If you want to get somewhere in life, surround yourself with eagles. Don't just surround yourself with turkeys and expect to get somewhere. This is why, you know, many elderly people, when they're put into homes, they just go down so quickly. Why? There's no stimulation for them. Now, some homes are great and they provide a lot of that and there's friends around and that's brilliant. But some of them, there's nothing there. And when we take stimulation away, we dive down, don't we? If you want to stretch towards greatness, surround yourself with exciting, vibrant and lively people like us. Because you will keep they will keep challenging you to stretch. And church should be this. I meet so many people who go to church just because they're going to church and because that's what they do, but they're not being stimulated. I want you to come here and be stimulated. The second thing is being stuck in a rut. Now, we can get stuck in a rut, but I don't want to be stuck in a rut. A rut is just a grave with the ends knocked out. It's nothing, no place you want to be. And many of us just in life, we get stuck in a rut. We're at the same job, we're doing the same thing, we all face boring tasks, and for some people their whole life is just boring and mundane. You talk to a teenager, what's it like? Boring, you know? That's what they say. And you're unmotivated and you're disengaged, and that's why we need new goals, new visions, new horizons for the new year, because we want to be stretching towards something great. Many people come to church and it is a mindless thing that they attend every week. I'm hoping that's not here, but in many places it is. And I've got to tell you, if you come here, I'm a pastor who needs to stretch, and if you come here, I'm going to stretch you with me. You know, when sometimes Fiona will be just lying there watching TV and she'll put her leg up as I can't, you know, like straight up, and she'll get me to sort of push on it to help stretch it a bit, just to stretch out a muscle. She said, do you want me to do that to you? No. But getting that little bit of help to stretch is great. See, the Christian life should never be boring because there's always more to do in Christ. Philippians 3:14, Paul writes, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. So Paul is saying, this is the Apostle Paul. He brought the gospel to the Gentiles. He planted churches right throughout Asia. And what does he say? Well, I did a great job and I'm done. No, he says, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on to win the prize. He never gave up. He kept pressing. He kept stretching. And the third thing is we take shortcuts all the time to second best. Isn't that cool? Many people stop stretching because they got used to taking shortcuts, even though they know the result is second best. They get used to settling for their lot in life and the shortcuts they take to achieve it. You see, shortcuts can suck the desire to stretch out of you and ruin your potential. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance, that is your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, do it as unto the Lord. Forget about what people are saying. Do it as unto the Lord. Because you will receive reward for that. And you'll keep stretching. You know, I want to stretch towards everything that God has me, not get lost down a blind alley. Have you ever taken a shortcut and it's come off not so good? Anybody? Can I tell you, it's really fun to do that with a caravan on the back. And then you think, okay, now you've got to reverse with the caravan on the back to get out of the blind alley you turned down. See, shortcuts are often not as good as what they look, aren't they? It's the same in life as it is on the road. Many people pursue get-rich-quick schemes, thinking they'll be rich in a few months. I'll do these few things and I'm going to be rich. But they find that they do their dough. Lotteries are built around the quick path to success. You know, lotteries are, you know, give a little bit of money now and you could win millions. Who wouldn't be up for that? But who does win millions? Pretty sure it's the government, but anyway. You know, and for the few who do win the lotteries, history shows us that within 2 years, they've lost everything. Because they don't manage that. They're not ready for that. They didn't work for it. Some parents take shortcuts, take the easy road when it comes to disciplining their children. And they think, well, this is just the easy way. I'll take a shortcut. I'll just give in to them. What's the result? You will reap the fruit further down the line. Congratulations. When your child hits teenage years and are tearing the place up, you know, and many of them look back and say, I wished I'd have been a little firmer earlier on. It's too late then. Don't take a shortcut. You know, many times we underprepare and we wing it. And I could say, I could do that here. I could deliver a sermon by quoting one verse and just jabbering on for half an hour. And I might think you don't notice, but do you think you'd notice? I think most of you are smart enough to figure out if I was doing that. So the Lord has challenged me to prepare not only my heart, but to spend hours preparing my message, saturating it with scripture. I don't want shortcuts in God's word, do you? I don't. I want the fullness thereof. That's what I want. I want to get so into the word that I understand and I know God more and more. Now, the fourth thing that stops us is we think we've arrived. I noted recently, I was talking with someone in a volunteer organization. They said when people go from volunteer to paid staff, their performance goes down. Did you know that? It's crazy. Why would that be? It's because they think they've arrived. Oh, I'm volunteering, I hope. Oh, they're putting me on staff, they're paying me money. Brilliant, I've done it now. Cool, I can relax. And we do this all the time because we've achieved our goal. But 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give it your best shot all the time. Stretch a little bit all the time. Why? Because we're doing it for His glory, not our own. See, marriage is like that. You look at yourself when you were dating. You used to dress up nice and, you know, you look really good. You were loving towards each other. And then you get married and what happens? Oh, I'm the only one, is it? I'm the only one that got married and slacked off, apparently. Yes. But, I mean, people do it all the time. Because, you know, oh, I'll be on my best behavior and then I'll get married. Well, I've arrived now. And so you drop your game. I heard about a couple who were in counseling. The wife says, he never tells me he loves me. The counselor says, well, is that true? The man replied, I told her I loved her when I married her and if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. See, when you serve Jesus, you haven't arrived, folks. You're on the start of the most wonderful journey in the world, in the universe, in eternity. It's the most incredible journey and you get to share it. You get to go along that path. But you haven't arrived. You never arrive. There is always more to do, always more greatness to stretch towards. So what's the great hope in stretching? Many people pursue happiness as their ultimate goal. But let me ask you a question. What makes you really happy? Being comfortable, being safe, being complacent might feel like happiness, but the happiest people I know are people who stretch towards greatness, those making something of their lives. See, stretching actually brings great hope. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. However uncomfortable, however stretching, the journey must bring you joy. Not the destination, the journey. Because as you stretch and as you reach out for things in God that are great, there's a certain satisfaction that comes with it. Romans chapter 5, Pastor Keith mentioned this before, verses 3 to 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Remember this? Because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. If you want hope in your life, start suffering. Because that develops the character that will give you hope through any adversity. No matter what the world throws at you, you can stand firm. Why? Because your hope is in the Lord. Because you've developed that character. See, many people hope in other people. They say to me all the time, if I could just find the right husband or the right wife, life would be brilliant. Who's married? Is life perfect? That's not a loaded question. I need you to be honest. It's not a loaded question. Because as much as I love my wife and we have a wonderful marriage, it's not perfect. And I'm hoping she'll improve in the future. No, I'm only kidding. I'm the problem. But you know, if you put your hope in people, they're going to let you down. God never lets you down. Some people say, if only I find the right boss, I'll be right at work. No, you won't. There'll still be problems. Then I'll be happy. Some people hope in the past, you know, the good old days. I mentioned it the other week. Everything was rosy in the good old days. Everyone loves the good old days. We look back with rose-tinted glasses, don't we? Remember all the good things and we forget all the bad things. Look at how rotten the world is today, but we forget that we've got internet, cell phones, colour TV, air conditioners, toilets that are inside. Remember those? The ones that were down the back? The good old days. No internet, no cell phones, no air conditioning. 38 degrees and no air conditioning. That's fun, isn't it? I'm going to sit under this fan and melt. We forget, we look back, we remember the good times. So you can't put your hope in the good old days. Some long for a problem-free life and they say, I'll be happy if I just didn't have problems. That's a false hope. It's the problems and conquering the problems that makes you happy, not their absence. There's a tremendous joy and satisfaction in stretching and overcoming difficulties. Who's ever done a course here? A university or tech course? Anybody done that? Was it fun? Probably not. Mine definitely wasn't. But you look back and you realize all the good that has done you. So we should rejoice in the suffering at the time because we know we're working to a goal and we're being stretched. But it's a good feeling when you can look back and say, you know, I did it. This is Kaylee's favorite words when she does them. She goes, I did it. And I love that. We run around our house, you know, we take the top off the Vegemite. I did it. You know, we can share and get joy in those little triumphs. Let me finish with this. I was recording a song last week, doing a new album on hymns, and it's a song I've always loved. It's so simple. We're going to sing it in a few minutes. But the words say this, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No turning back. You know that song? Well, let me hit you with a story here to finish up. On April 21st, in the year 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernan Cortes sailed into the harbor of Veracruz in Mexico. He brought with him only 600 men, a tiny force to conquer a nation. And over the next 2 years, his vastly outnumbered forces were able to defeat Montezuma and all of the Aztec warriors and conquer Mexico for Spain. This is history. How was this incredible feat accomplished? When two prior expeditions had failed to establish a colony on Mexican soil. What was different this time? Here's the secret. Cortes knew that he and his men faced incredible odds. He knew that the road before them would be dangerous and difficult. He knew that his men would be tempted to abandon their quest and return to Spain. And so as soon as Cortes and his men had come ashore and unloaded their provisions, he ordered their entire fleet of 11 ships sunk. He set fire to them. His men stood on the shore and watched as their only possibility of retreat burned and sank. And from that point on, they knew there was no return, no turning back. Nothing lay behind them but empty ocean. Their only option was to go forward, to conquer, or to die. For this church, going to two services might feel like a stretch for me and for many of you, but we're trialing it for a few months to see how it goes. Or relocating. A terrifying thought that we have to pull up stumps and go somewhere else and sell somewhere and buy somewhere and all this sort of stuff. But I know God has a destiny for us, and I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No regrets, no turning back. I just want to be faithful, and I hope you do too. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said this, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself daily, take up his cross and follow me." The greatest commitment you can make right now for your church, for your family, for your life is to take up your cross and say, "Lord, I'm going to stretch. No turning back, no matter what." I know many of you, you've made that kind of commitment to the Lord, as have I. However, some of you are fearful when God is stretching you. Go through all those things, the fear of the unknown and the pain and all that sort of stuff. Some of you may be being asked to stretch right now in some area of your life. And I want to encourage you to make the commitment with me that I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no matter what. A couple of weeks ago, I shared the story of the young missionary who went to missions. He was on the mission field 2 weeks and died of meningitis. And he left a note under his pillow which said, "No regrets, no turning back." You know, he had no regrets. And I have no regrets because I want to follow Jesus no matter what. So I want to encourage you to pray with me now. Have a good look at your life. Where's God asking you to stretch right now? What's he stimulating in you to stretch? What area do you have to stretch out and do something new in? What area are you maybe a little afraid to stretch? Maybe you're torn between a couple of things, but you've got to choose. It's time for you to choose and to stretch. Why don't you bow your heads in prayer with me?